Thank you, Bobby. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about our epistle in 1 John chapter 3. And what I'd like you to get out of this, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, is a picture of the unimaginable love that God has for you. John writes, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that this was manifest to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." I don't often use the King James Version when I'm reading Scripture, but for some reason the Holy Spirit put a tug on my heart today to read that version. It's as if the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and hopefully to you, pay attention to this passage of Scripture this morning, because in it you get this picture of just how important you are to your Father in heaven. See, this version in the King James Bible, the translation uses the imperative, behold. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Behold. He's saying, look and see. Look and see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we are called the children of God. What a marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at this love, that you would be called a child of God. Because that's who we really are. And it's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously as Christians, because it has no idea who he is and what he's up to in the world. But the reality is, the truth is, that's exactly who you are. A child of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows where we're going to end up in all of this? What we know is that when Christ one day soon is openly revealed to us, we'll see him. And when we see him, we will become like him. All of us who look forward to Jesus's coming, his return, well, we stay ready. We're ready for that event to occur. And we stay ready by looking at this unbelievable purity that Jesus' life has modeled for us, so that we can strive to be like him in our daily walk. And then in this passage, John gives us some words of warning. He says, everyone who indulges in a sinful life, well, you're living a dangerously lawless life, because sin is a disruption in the divine order that God has put in place. And we all know that Christ showed up here on earth in order to get rid of sin. We know that, right? Because there was no sin in Jesus. Sin wasn't a part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a daily practice of sin, do we? None of those who practice sin have even taken a good look at who Jesus was. They don't understand him. They've got him all turned upside down and backwards in their hearts and their minds. And so John says, dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. A person who acts right is right. A person who believes on Jesus Christ is righteous and lives a life according to the example that Jesus, our Messiah, gave us. See, being a child of God should stir up in us, just like it does John in this passage, this sense of wonder, the sense of awe, a sense of amazement. What a glorious, measureless love God has for you and for me. It's such a great love that we as humans can scarcely understand the magnitude of such a love. And if you were just to stop and give it the full reflection that it's due, then you will be astonished. You will be amazed. You will be full of wonder, because God's love fills us with those thoughts of wonder, because his love is divine in nature. It's a love that originates only with God. Only with God the Father. It has one purpose. Do you know what that purpose is? It's to seek the highest good for you. Imagine that. The God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, loves with such an intense, pure, holy love, whose sole purpose is your highest good. God's love is a love that transforms the recipients of that love, not because we're worthy of the love, but in spite of our unloveliness, God seeks to bring us into his family. Now, if there is ever a reason to use the word awesome, that's it. That's awesome. He has bestowed this love on us. In other words, he's lavished this love upon us. It's a gift from God that can't be earned. It can't be bought. It's given freely. And what's more, it can never be, once it's given, once it's received, it can never be withdrawn. God will never take back the love that he has given you. It's given in such a way that his love actually is imparted to you. It becomes part of you. It's permanent. It is an abiding love that he gives to us, his children. So we aren't just given the title, children of God. It's not just something that we put on a plaque and hang on our wall. No, it's an actual transformation. An actual adoption, when we exercise this saving faith in Jesus Christ, when we become a Christ follower, we are actually transformed into God children. Divine progeny. Literally, children of God. In a family relationship that is blood related. That being the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of this divine love, which transforms us into children of God, the world simply does not understand us. This is what John is saying. He's saying the child of God is so radically different from a child of the world because we have different fathers. Our Father is God, the one true God, the Creator God, the Almighty God, Jehovah, Yahweh, God. Children of the world have a different father. They are the child of the devil, Satan. That's not my opinion. That's biblical. It's truth. Until you convert your heart, transform your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit into a Christ-following Christian, you are of the world. There's no gray area here. You is or you ain't. The world doesn't understand the children of God because the world did not understand the Christ. Does not understand him even now. And so if the world is hostile toward you as a Christian, if the world rejects you as a follower of Christ, if the world mocks you as a child of God, you can be assured of two things. One, that behavior is to be expected of a world that has this natural animosity toward the things of God. And two, that reaction you should welcome, because it's a sure sign that you are in the world but not of it. It's a sure sign that you belong to something other than the world, and that something being God the Father through the Holy Spirit and through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And this is why the Bible tells us to count it all joy. Whatever the world throws at you, whatever reaction you get as a child of God moving through a hostile world, we are called to respond as joyful because of this incredible love that the Father has bestowed on us. Now, while all of you were toiling away here at the yard sale, I was up at the Perkins Extension this weekend. Bishop Scott Jones was there, and he delivered our morning chapel service homily. And he told a story about how people respond when someone asks them that common greeting, "How are you?" What do we usually say? "I'm fine." And the bishop said that he, like most of us, tended to say, "I'm fine." It's that standard response, isn't it? No matter what kind of hell on earth we might be going through that day, we put on a brave face and somebody says, "How are you?" And you say, "I'm fine." Well, the truth is, we may not be fine. Things may be downright hostile in our circumstances. Things may be downright intolerable in our finances, in our home situation, in our relationships, maybe in our spiritual relationship. We're not quite sure where we're at. Things may be not so fine at all. And so Bishop Jones said one day he met a woman in the parking lot, and she extended the greeting to him, "How are you?" To which he responded, "I'm fine. How are you?" And so the response the woman gave caught him off guard. She said, "I'm joyful." And so Bishop Jones decided that day that he would take that example to heart, and now he responds to that question, "How are you?" "I'm joyful." How are you? I'm joyful. We as Christians should make that our standard response. Because even when things aren't fine, we can still be joyful. Even when the demons are rattling at the gates of our experience, we can still count it all joy. And why is that? How are we able to do that? It's not through our own power, is it? No, we can do that because, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, look and see that even now we are the sons of God, the children of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We don't know for certain. But one thing we do know. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. That's some serious love. Every reason in the world to count it all joy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.